Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Edit audio.
When I first started out in my acting career, I had almost no resume, but I had all the belief in possibilities and I had hustle for days. Well, recently, I just came across a letter that I sent to an agent that I had read for. Now, mind you, this letter was written in the Comic Sans font, dear Lord help me, and it went a little something like this. Dear Lynn, I wanted to take a moment to say congratulations on your new position. I hope it doesn't seem like I'm stalking you. I guess good news just travels fast. Of course, no mailing to you would be complete without a few pictures and resumes for you to have on file. No need to thank me. It was the least I could do, really. Anyway, now that you have a new home, I'd love to sit down and chat with you again. After you get a chance to get settled, I'll call to set up an appointment. Congratulations again. Oh my God, I sent that. Also, later I called to try to set up that appointment and she said, "Robin! You can't just call me." And then she pretty much hung up on me. Again. Yeah. But thinking back to those early days in my career, all I can think about is how much I wanted to get started, how much I wanted to succeed, and how much I wanted to be given the opportunity to prove myself. But I just couldn't figure out how to do it. Hello, everyone. I'm Robin Hopkins, and this is Well Adjusting, where I talk to people about life stuff, but not in an NPR way. It's more like we're at the bar, having cocktails, getting into your business sort of way.
It's giving drunk NPR.
Oh, and producer Steph is here, too.
Hello.
Today we chat, well, building that career when you're just out of college. Hey, everyone. I am so excited to be back with you for another episode of Well Adjusting. Today, we are talking to Newt. Newt is a recent college grad, and they're working on their career. But they're a tad bit nervous that no one's going to take them seriously, or that their independent or self-produced work experience is just not going to be considered. So we're about to chat about that time in your life when you're just starting out and you have big plans for where you want to go, but you're feeling just a little bit impatient. And we're going to talk all about that, but I do want to remind you that we're always looking for new guests. So if you got a problem and you want to pick it apart with us, just drop us an email at hello@editaud.io. Or, you know, you can DM me on any of those social platforms at Real Rob Hops. Okay, let's get to Newt.
Hi, my name is Newton Shottlecotty, but most folks call me Newt. I am a sound designer, composer, engineer, producer. I work in podcasting as well as the theater industries, and I am coming to you from the beautiful city of Chicago. When I was 15 years old, I started my first podcast because I like to say there are two things that you can do in Ohio: go to Target or start a podcast. I taught myself sound design, and I put together a show, and people responded very positively to that. So I went to college for audio. It's what I do now, and I love it. But because I got my start in this industry at a comparatively pretty young age, for a majority of the time, I haven't been super public about how old I am because there is an unfortunately not unfounded kind of feeling that if people know how young I am, they will assume that I am not particularly experienced. They will think that they can undermine me, underpay me. Like I said, it has unfortunately happened before. As of this recording, I'm 21 years old. I started college in fall of 2020, which means that we couldn't really do any live theater productions until 2021. I'm trying to find that balance between knowing where I have those green areas, especially in the live space, simply because of the circumstances of my schooling, but also knowing that I do have quite a bit of experience. I know what I'm talking about. And while I'm super open to learning and seeing where those blind spots are, not feeling like I'm, well, not being taken seriously.
That's a great question. So my first question is like, how is your resume? And I don't mean the actual physical resume. I mean, actually your experiences. Like, it sounds like you've done a bunch. It sounds like you're a self-starter. It sounds like you, you know, like long when I was just playing basketball in high school and being like, you were like doing actual work. So does your resume reflect your age or do you think it's above your age?
I like to think it's above my age. Yeah, I have quite a number of projects on there, a number of them self-produced. So I think that it definitely shows not only my experience from a time perspective, but also just all of the different things that I can do because I like to do a lot of different things.
Do you think that as you've gone out into the workforce, any of your credits aren't being taken seriously because they're self-produced? Because it's like, if I look at my acting resume, if I look into the theater world, a lot of it is stuff that I wrote and produced myself. And as I'm going out with a new agent, I tend to feel like those credits don't mean crap to those people. Because unfortunately, people care who's vetted you. So is that happening to you?
In the realm of producing and writing, I feel like whenever I go for gigs that are related to those two things, because most of my credits in that aspect are from self-produced work, specifically mostly being a showrunner, those are not seen as well as, say, if I had done something for like Wondery or Audible or like one of the larger companies.
Right. Okay. So I'm probably going to get really mommy in this episode, okay? I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say it right up front.
You're fine. I need to call mine today.
Yes, call your mom.
Yes.
I find myself in a space of thinking about this from both your perspective and from like my years of corporate experience and also from my acting experience, which is that like there is this thing that happens in the world like I don't believe you until someone else believes in you. And to a certain extent, that's what a resume does, is it shows that, oh, this company believed in you, this company believed in you. And then they look at how long you were there. There's all kinds of inferences you're making from somebody's, you know, resume, which is like, well, they were only there 9 months and then they were only there 9 months. What's wrong with this person? Or they were there 5 years and they had three promotions. So it's like everything I think in the workplace is reading between the lines. How do you do, Newt, in the world of patience? Because you just got out of college and you're obviously a self-starter and you're obviously a hustler, but like there is a ladder. It's not always fair and it's not always right, but there is like, you know, sometimes you got to come out here and you got to like take those crap jobs to get that next job. So like, how are you in patience with patience?
Not always fantastic. I'm very much a doer. I've dove into projects and not been 100% ready in terms of skills or experience or whatnot. And I've figured things out and that's how I've learned a lot. But at the same time, it's learning that, well, I kind of have to think of if I'm having fun as well. Like, it's okay to ask yourself, yes, I'm going to be able to do it, but will I enjoy myself? Will I sleep?
Right.
My perfect job would be sound designing incredibly complex and high budget fiction podcasts. But aside from, is that where the industry is at today? It's definitely something that I feel I've like done before, but not quite at that level of production and compensation. And while I do think that it is a job that I could make a leap into, it's also something that I don't know if I would want to go solo on immediately.
Yeah. Let's say that big budget job is out there, right? And you get brought in as a number two on the project, or you get brought in as like more of like a project coordinator, and you're coming in and you're going to learn a little bit of all the different areas. Like, there's a couple of really important things that happen in those spaces. And that's why I'm kind of starting to dance around the judgment of where you are, the self-imposed judgment of it's not where I want to be. It's not where I want to be. I'm challenging you to maybe consider that there's a learning that takes place of learning about how people work, systems they use, shortcuts, the way they challenge themselves creatively, or even just how they carry themselves in a business. And there's this part too of like thinking about how you get jobs. I haven't had a resume in 25 years. I haven't interviewed for a job in 25 years because of my reputation. Because when I'm a hard-ass worker and people, when they find out I'm looking for work, are like, oh, I could use someone like you. And I've been very fortunate in that regard. But I give you another example. My current boss, this lovely young gentleman named Baron, was my intern. He came in and he was fantastic and he was young and he had similar type experience to you. You just knew, like, that's a kid I want to bring with me. And I think that you could have that air about you. That's why I'm circling patience, but also like the self-judgment thing, because it feels like there's an element of like, of just wanting to be over there versus being on this journey. Like, you just started your career and it's a journey, and it's made up of experiences, but also of growth and of like you said, like some joy and some fun and, you know, all of that. And if you're just constantly being like, and by the way, full disclosure, Steph and I talk about this all the time, I am a queen and a master of moving the goalpost. Like, as soon as I get there, I'm like, well, but I want to be over there. So I'm with you on this journey, which is why I think it's easy to see. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, you're telling a lot of truth right now. And that is always good to hear. And it's definitely stuff that I feel like I need to hear right now. Something that I also imagine you can relate to is I'm non-binary, but I get perceived as female a lot. And One of the things that you face, especially in an industry that for a very long time was pretty dominated by men, is you kind of have to be your own biggest cheerleader. And lots of marginalized communities face this. You have to believe in yourself, because sometimes there will not be people who do, and you have to be very confident in what you bring to the table. And I feel like we can so often have this pressure to always be super assured of what we can do and always be pushing ourselves just a little bit harder, because it can feel like we don't have the luxury of admitting to any less than perfectionism.
Yeah,
I feel that so much so, but I do think the more experienced and more assured of my like work I am, the more that to me being confident doesn't show up as like pretending I have the answers, but shows up in me being like, oh, I actually don't know that. Let me look into it. And I think what I've realized is that the confidence of like knowing everything is just an unrealistic fake mirage, you know, like no one actually knows everything and no one expects you to know everything. And it takes like way more confidence to be able to say that you don't know and you're going to figure it out than it does to pretend like you have the answer. And that is something that I've tried to really like rework my brain around, because so often, like, especially I remember in like studios, like recording studio environments, I don't know that I would pretend I knew things, but I would often be like, okay, I'm going to quietly research this in the corner to make sure I know it before I say anything. And that did me such a disservice, because I could have been learning through other people and I could have been learning through asking questions, and I could have felt more confident in the stuff that I did know, because oftentimes it's my own judgment of myself that is like holding me back.
And I've seen Steph do that. Not the second part, the not good part, the good part. I've seen her be like, I don't know the answer to that. And there's still a way that she carries herself that says that I'm the person in charge and we're all going to wait for my answer. And that comes with confidence. And I do think that you're right, Newt, that is something that we carry as, you know, as people in a marginalized community, that is something we carry. But I don't think that we always have to. And I also want to say that the confidence comes from working. And that's, again, with the patience of like allowing yourself to be in situations where you don't understand or you don't know or you're not exactly where you want to be and just saying, okay, sometimes I have to take a job for money. Sometimes I take a job for love. Sometimes I take a job just for a credit and there's no money. I look at everything holistically and say, what am I going to get out of this job? Especially like in the acting stuff, like I have had to say like, no, I'm not going to do that. That is only going to make me feel bad about myself. That's not going to improve me as an actor. That's not going to move my career forward in any, and it's going to take me away from my family. I'm saying no to that. Mm-hmm. And being able to say no, I'm 53. It's new. Like I'm just now able to say no because I come from like a poor kid mentality of like, you don't say no to work. You don't say no to work.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It's like you keep working. Yeah. My image of you, Newt, is shoulders up here. Rosie on my other podcast called them shoulder earrings. And I thought that was the most perfect phrase. And it's like, I just want to come in and be like, just relax a little. Everything that I get from you is you're so responsible. You are moving this forward. You're knowledgeable. So like stepping into that and reframing from like, what do I need to do? What do I have to do? Where am I? To just like, okay, well, what can I get from this? What are my objectives for this gig? You know, because you're in a freelance world. So what's the thing I want to learn from this job? Or is it just a credit thing? Or is it a money thing? Just knowing that allows me to adjust how I show up.
Yeah, I am definitely feeling what you're saying. I feel like just because it's been a part of me for so long and because I've had to have this drive by nature of where I started out, I've sort of built a lot of my identity around being someone who is like always moving, always choosing something that is just a little bit out of my reach, but I'm going to, you know, believe in myself and force myself to come up to that level of professionalism and quality and whatnot. I started doing podcasting not just because there's not a lot to do in Ohio, but because I was a queer autistic kid. Not usually a recipe for astounding popularity. So like a lot of people in that, yeah, really. Like a lot of people in that situation, you know, I found an escape through the arts, through theater, through storytelling. My core reasoning for creating and writing my first show the way that I did was I wanted to make an extremely queer sitcom and tell the kinds of stories that I just was not really seeing in the media that I was consuming and what I was being exposed to. So I feel like when you get to do all of those things, you sometimes build your sense of self less around, here are all of my friends and here is what everyone thinks of me and I'm this person and people tell me I'm like this, and more, here is what I make. I know that a lot of autistic people have talked about, and I am very much in agreement with this, because so often we can grow up in a bit of a socially isolated bubble, either because we don't understand what's going on or because other people don't understand, we form our sense of self less around what do other people think of us and more, what do I make? What am I doing? What am I putting out into the world? And when you're feeling really creatively fulfilled and you're in a great spot, that's awesome because it's like, oh, I'm somebody who makes these wonderful, amazing things that connect with people. But there's that trap that I have fallen into many a time of being like, oh, I'm only as good as where I'm at on the ladder. I'm only as good as what I'm putting out. And I feel like that's not even entirely exclusive to people like me. It's something that happens to everybody.
Well, it's certainly something that happens to Steph and I. So like we can relate. And it leads me to this question, which is, what part of you do you feel you're ignoring?
It feels kind of silly to admit because I feel like often the opposite is true, but I would really like, especially as I'm now sort of working enough that I can, as much as a freelancer can, call myself financially stable, I kind of want to figure out what it feels like to be a dumb person in your 20s. And that's so ridiculous to say.
Yes, it's not.
But like, I feel like so many folks around my age lost out on either like their senior year of high school or their first big year of college or a chunk of your life that you can absolutely get back and recreate to different extents at different periods in your life. But a part where you are figuring out who you are socially, who you are emotionally, trying out all of these different identities, friend groups, whatever. And so I live in a big city. I'm young and whatnot. I think something that I really want to do is I want to figure out what does it feel like to be somebody in your early 20s and just like being silly with it.
Okay, I'm obsessed with this because literally last week, Robin and I were getting drinks and we were talking about this. And Robin always says to me, oh, I'm so happy that you're doing that. Like, I never got a chance to do that with stuff that like me being like slutty or me being like...
I really missed out on the slut train.
Like slutty, but like in a hot, fun way, you know? Like,
I was gay in the South. I get
not,
it.
Yeah, not in a judgmental slutty way. Like in a, I'm proud to be slutty. And I think it's funny sometimes because I'm like, yes, comparatively to Robin, maybe I do feel like I do that a lot. But if I look back at my life, I'm like, I really only gave myself two opportunities. And I like... very stuffed it out. Like I planned it. I was like, this month to this month, I'm going to be like wild. And then after that, I'm going to get my shit together. And then it wasn't until like literally moving to New York and after the pandemic that I was like, okay, I've been miserable through the pandemic and I haven't had like community at all. So like, how am I going to, and I like planned that out in my head and it feels so silly, but I was like, if I don't do that, I'm not going to allow myself the space to like actually play. And yeah. I think it's really important in general. This is very long-winded now, but especially as queer people, like I think so much of your childhood, your identity and your ability to like dream up a life that is fun and beautiful and like includes you is like stripped away from you. That like, I think it's especially important to like mindfully put time towards enjoying things in your life because I don't think we're told to do that. And I don't think we're told that we're allowed to be anything, you know, like even allowed to be like dating or whatever. It's like we're told there's six gay people in all of the South. And like I was in Canada. It's the same thing. I was like, okay, well, this one person is my soulmate. And if I screw it up with them, I guess I'm going to die alone. Like, that's it. So I think, yeah, just like unraveling that and being able to like have fun and play in the way that not everyone's afforded, but I do think queer people are especially not afforded.
And the reason I think that we can say this to you, Newt, is because your career is going to come. It's happening right now as we speak. Like, it is happening. You are doing it. It is there. You are on a path and trusting yourself that it will come. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't have goals. It doesn't mean you should. But I don't want to waste too much time, you know, saying, oh, like you should be spreadsheeting your 5-year plan. Like,
I do have a spreadsheet for the record.
Yeah, like, and by the way, like, should you have like, a spreadsheet?
You kind of got me there.
I'm never going to tell you not to have a spreadsheet. I'm me. I love a spreadsheet. And I do think it is interesting to have like a 5-year plan of like, I'd love to see myself here in 5 years. I think that's interesting. I think it allows you to look around the world and to take in what people are doing. I think when you declare a goal, inherently, we start to take the world in a way that moves you toward that goal. Yes, continue to do that. But I don't think we need to spend too much time there because you already got the spreadsheet. You're doing it. Like, let's pump up the other areas of your life so that the joy comes in, the anxiety comes down, your shoulder earrings, you can take them off so that you can find joy. You have your whole life to work. You're going to be doing it for a very long time, but there should be joy and connection and community too.
Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, friends. I wanted to tell you about a podcast that I think you are going to like. Okay, Bill Burke is the host of the weekly podcast Blue Sky, where he interviews individuals tackling the world's most significant challenges with hope and optimism. Sounds right up your alley, right? Exactly what we thought. All right, it's brought to you by the Optimism Institute, which was also founded by Bill, to sprinkle a bit of positivity on your view of the future, especially with the media often showing us just the gloomier side of things. On Blue Sky, you're going to hear optimism about topics on everything from climate change and AI to homelessness and immigration and more, and they're offering diverse perspectives. You're going to finish each episode feeling brighter about the world and optimistic about our collective future. The name Blue Sky, well, it's inspired by a meditation prompt symbolizing the idea that beyond the clouds, there's always blue sky, encouraging a broader perspective. The Blue Sky podcast is available for listening on all major podcast platforms, inviting everyone to look beyond the clouds and embrace a more hopeful view of the future. I'll tell you what, I'll be listening.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Every year I try to have like a word of the year that I kind of like center
my goals.
Yeah, my word this year was discipline because I was graduating college.
Boo.
I was moving to a new
city.
I know. I was moving to a new city. I was like starting like work without school and all of that. And my idea was I want to be in this space by the end of the year. I want to be graduated, moved out, working, all of that, have a cat, be able to financially support that cat. And I guess myself too, but mostly the cat. And I did that. But now I'm kind of just sitting here like, okay, I have accomplished my main goal for this year because we're recording this at the end of 2023. I am so tired. Oh my God. So I've been mulling it over, but I am definitely certain that my word going into the next year is going to be balance. I need to find some balance or maybe even play because I do very much feel like we can set ourselves up with these goals that while they are part of the basic needs of living, even when we have met them and a little bit beyond, it's like, well, where am I emotionally? Where am I in the sense of like wonder and whimsy and enrichment in my enclosure and just taking a day to look at the world and read books and let my brain rest? So
yes,
that's something that I don't even want to say working towards in the next year because that kind of frames it incorrectly. So I guess letting myself move towards, allowing myself to move towards.
Yeah. Just because you don't hit it one day doesn't mean you can't hit it the next day.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like your default setting, much like Steph and I, could be just get it done. Get it done. Get it done. And I will have to say to myself, like I do a morning walk almost every morning, and I'll have to say to myself, like, today, I'm not going to worry about my pace. I am going to maybe try to look at leaves. And I have to reset myself every day. It doesn't.
You do your hot girl walk.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well,
that's what my generation calls them. The little walk that you take to make your brain happy. That's a hot girl walk.
Yes. Robin is refusing to call herself a hot girl.
Be cool. Be hip with the kids.
I don't think I could pull that off, Newt. So we're just going to not even try. But, you know, I think you're doing great. That's where I'm coming from. The idea that you have a solid piece of your career like moving where you want it to move is a really great thing. And I think you should, if you are able to, you should take some gratitude in that and be appreciative of what you've already accomplished. And then to know that there's this other piece that you're like, ooh, I'd like to do more over here. That's wonderful. Like that is just wonderful to be on that path already, yeah. I think.
Can I ask you like 3 or 4 questions very quick?
Go crazy.
When's the last time you felt like you had skills?
I want to say the other day when I was composing and I ended up creating a piece that I felt fit the moment really, really perfectly. And
hell yeah.
Then I immediately got up from my break and went to go do my A2 job for the show that I'm working on now and did my track really well. And it was just a very satisfying jump from one place where I really love working and being creative to another place where I really love working that satisfies my need for a spreadsheet. It was just a really good 1-2 punch.
Oh my gosh. And like multiple skills. That's very cool. When's the last time that you felt you were like driven and like a hard worker?
I have been networking my ass off with a bunch of people who are A1s. For those of you listening not in theater, that is the person who stands at the mixing console and mixes the show and runs the sound cues in a lot of shows here in Chicago and then also in New York when I go this week. And I have been able to get in and shadow some really amazing Broadway shows that I'm super excited for, including one tomorrow that I'm literally vibrating out of my chair. So
that's amazing.
Third question. When's the last time you like had fun for fun's sake?
See, you say that and then suddenly I forget everything that I did yesterday, fun or not.
No, it's like, I know I did.
I do fun things, I promise.
No, but this is what I wanted to point out, because while you've been talking, I've been like, oh my God, I have so many things to say. But first of all, the weird thing about the word thing that you were saying, like I put a word towards my ear. When we started this conversation, just your like first minute introduction, I was like, I already know the advice I'm going to give Newt is going to be, I said the word was going to be curiosity. Because that's the word that I find helpful in like standing up for myself is leading with curiosity. So like if I don't know the answer to something, if I feel like I'm not confident in something, if the world seems scary, I like just try to like be like, okay, how would I like curiously look at this? How can I figure this out? And to me, curiosity is hot. Being able to like be like, I don't know this, but I'm going to figure it out and I want to figure it out and that's fun. It allows me to play. It allows me to like show up more confidently. That's the word that I wanted to use. But I do think play is maybe better for you. Yeah. But I was asking you these 3 questions because I was asking myself them like, okay, when's the last time I felt skilled? When's the last time I felt like I'm a hard worker? And like, those are things that I deeply know about myself. I work on this shit every day. Like I could tell you 12 times this morning that I felt those things, you know? The last time that I played, I'm like, and like, I know I've done it, but I'm like, they're not in my brain.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to get that, especially like life just gets more and more serious.
It sounds so silly. Like, it really does. I have to play.
I know, no, it does. It sounds ridiculous.
It can feel kind of like, for lack of a better term, naughty to admit that. It's like, oh, I need to go out and play, or like, I need to dial back my work and figure out what I really enjoy, or I need to accept these things about myself and let myself be silly. Because we live in this world that's like, you should be doing this, you should be like driven, you should be accomplishing all of those things. And it can feel like you're not taking your career seriously, or you're not being adult enough, even if you do have many of those things together. It feels like a problem that you're not really allowed to have. And you feel guilty about it.
Well, I would push back on that, Newt. I would say, like, there's work time and then there's obsessing about work time. And obsessing about work time, you're actually not getting anything done. You're not furthering your career. You're not doing anything healthy. If just that obsession time was replaced with play or curiosity or whatever your word you choose is, you're still getting all your work done.
Ooh.
So I think there's a reframe in there that like, I think of it like Mary's a former smoker and she talks about how it's also sometimes how I think of food when I'm in like compulsive eating, is there's the time when I'm eating, and then there's the time when I'm thinking about food. And Mary would talk about it like, okay, I'm at work and right now you're talking to me, but I want to go downstairs because I got to try to figure out if I can get a cigarette in before I go over to there because I can't smoke there. All that time is wasted time. And I'm never better for having done that. So I think if you can reframe it, and if you can figure out the distinction of when you're in like, maybe obsession is too strong a word, but when you're in that space where you're just spinning about work versus actually working. And I've said this about a million and one times. Courtney in season two talked about the idea of future casting, of when you're putting energy toward projects, especially as a freelancer, this is something you have to do, towards projects that you want to come to you or projects that you want to do. So future casting to me is a beneficial use of time where you're thinking strategically or in a constructive way about future work versus spinning.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What I see, Newt, when you roll out your story is space in the best possible way. I feel like you don't feel like there's any space. You got the shoulder earrings and you're moving and you want to be taken seriously and you want these things. And I see an expansive space around you that's not being utilized. And I have an image of you stepping into the open space. And I can't even imagine what's going to show up for you when you do, because you are, you're dynamic. It's clear.
I agree. I think trusting your skills, trusting your work ethic, trusting that like you are a naturally disciplined person, and then trying to play in the other spots of you. Because I think once you believe those things, like somewhere inside, you will see them more in the world.
The magic was inside me all along, and it's the power of friendship.
The magic is
the
you.
Phone call is coming from inside the house.
The phone call's coming from inside the house.
I'm so glad you reached out to us with this question, because it's, I think there are so many people who can relate to where you are and where you're at. It's a really hard time.
Three people on this podcast.
every single person here currently. But I mean, like when you're coming out of school, it's a hard time and it's a very transitional and you're trying to figure out who you are. So my closing words for you, the homework is very easy, is to be gentle with yourself, is to just take it easy and play in the open space and just see what comes. Keep your spreadsheet. Don't throw that out. But you can loosen it up a little over on the other side. And who knows what's going to come. And I love that for you.
Yeah. I mean, real and true. Thank you.
How do you feel, Newt?
Genuinely better. Thank you. Yeah. This is, you know, when like your dad is like standing in front of the window and it's raining a lot and he says, wow, it's really coming down out there. We needed this. That's how I feel right now. I feel like a dad witnessing a rainstorm. What a great state to be in.
Cool.
That's I was a little afraid that I was going to be the dad standing at the window in the beginning of that.
No, you're the rain.
I know, but it's just you could see where I would go with that stuff.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that for once you're not the parent, you're the rain.
I know, I love it. That was absolutely beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Newt. This was really wonderful. And just keep us posted because our paths are going to cross. You could just tell.
I hope so. And thank you. This was both needed and absolutely lovely.
You have reached the well-adjusting expert of the day.
Hi, my name is Carrie Sullivan. I was in leadership roles throughout my career in the apparel industry, most recently at Nike. My advice for someone who's just starting out in their work journey and they believe that their resume is kind of thin with experience, what's going to come across is who you are and the fact that if you are a go-getter, how aggressive you are towards connecting with people. I think the most important thing is having referrals from life experience. A mentor that you had in high school, it could be a neighbor. It could be that you hustled and did odd jobs. It's more to the character of who you are. Letters of referral are really important. And when you read those could fill up your cup for confidence so much so that it opens up another thing. Oh, maybe I could reach out to my college professor that helped me with this project. And also outlining what your qualities are as far as like what you took on in addition to coursework, like other projects, other side hustle jobs you did, things like that. If you want that entrepreneurial spirit to come across, you kind of have to demonstrate it with facts of what projects you may have done. It helps to be as specific as possible with them so they can really direct the adjectives you want them to use. Say it's an entry-level assistant producer. You want to have that project management, time management. There are specific qualities you need that referral letter to demonstrate you've accomplished. When you're first starting out, and I thought when I first was starting out that I was going to be vice president at 25, return to the East Coast and slay. The reality of what becomes your day-to-day job becomes your functional like excellence. Having that patience to learn and to gain your experience is what your 20s, that decade, is meant to inform your career as you get through your 30s and 40s. The self-awareness that you have to have and the self-patience is really difficult. I am not saying this is an easy journey at all, because you're impatient in your 20s. You want to have all that accomplishment. You have the energy too. You want to slay, you want to do all the things, and you just see this wide world of opportunity. But the patience and self-awareness that the mastery has to happen, because at your age, you also want to see that your manager is capable and you want to esteem to a certain level. It's not in the title either. It's in the work that you do every day. You're not going to be a VP unless it's like a micro company or your own company. You might believe you want to be a producer. You may believe you want to be in a VP of operations or sourcing or creative or design. You want to be the head designer. Experience will lead you to the changes that happen with what you're learning. And you should be open to pivot, because the career landscape will change for you in what you're learning. Maybe I really want to be design. I'm not as operationally savvy as I want to be. I am more creative. I really do want to flex that muscle. You'll observe a whole new world when you're working cross-functionally in an organization. And you really should, in your 20s, you want to master your position. But you also want to have your feelers open and wide to see what other opportunities there are. What's really a good tool is to connect with the people in other cross-functional jobs and opportunities and functions and connect with them and talk, hey, can I do an informational with you? And once you have a win is the best time. Like say you have a cross-functional meeting and somebody gives you kudos for finishing a project on time or early. That is the opportunity to pounce and say, hey, thank you so much after the meeting or phone call. Just say, hey, I'd love 5 minutes. What can I do more to get these kind of accolades, to be seen? If you connect with the people that are starting around your same time or the people that have been there like within a year of your hire date, those people are really good because they can help you also navigate is to connect with them. What did they learn? What was it like? Hey, how did you navigate your first year? What were your pitfalls? What would you suggest to do? For sure. Because then you have allies as well.
Okay, that's it for today, folks. But before we go, I do want to say so many thanks to Newt for sharing their journey with us. You know, it's just not easy when you first start your career out, so I really appreciate the openness to talking about it all. And I also want to say thank you to Carrie for once again jumping in as our expert of the day. I mean, listen, you want to retire early? Listen to that gal. For more Robin, and you may need that, you probably don't need it, but like if you do, you can follow me at Real Rob Hops on all the platforms, all the socials, as the kids today say. Well Adjusting is an Edit Audio original series. It's exec produced by Steph Colburn and Robin Hopkins. Our producer and editor is Maria Passingham, and our production manager is Kathleen Speckert. Thank you to the entire Edit Audio team and to you for listening. Oh, hey, before you take out those AirPods, this show is just for entertainment. If you are in need of help, please reach out to a professional. Go ahead and get that help. You deserve it.